Back together again, you and I, Monday, October the 10th of 2022 on Connecticut Today. And we talked about the continued controversy in some circles about the federal Columbus Day holiday and what some states do on local levels. We spoke to Italian-American One Voice Coalition head Andre Domino and Joe Catanzaro, president of the Italian-American Alliance Connecticut, on the holiday. Want to jump in here on this Columbus Day, Monday, October the 10th, 2022. We're 203-333-9422, 333-9422. Okay, we get into this every year about this time, but I sense now it's slackened off a little bit. Maybe yes, maybe no. And we've got a couple of pro-Columbus Day guests coming on later on. We've had one of them on in the past. We have one national guest, one local guest. And look, let's start it off this way. Nobody was perfect in their lives. In fact, there were some really bad SOBs, both on the male and female side, years and years and hundreds of years ago. I think the problem becomes when we try and apply more, I don't know, shall we say, civilized standards today with some people who may have been very smart years ago, but had preconceptions, life notions, had, you know, the thinking that, well, we're just going to do this way, not knowing with any forethought that what they were doing in life was really bad. And there's been a lot of discussion on both sides of the aisle about, well, you know, the significance of Columbus Day and whether or not it should still be a federal holiday. Now, and I was just talking about this with somebody, you know, in the front office. Look, make no mistake, because somebody kind of floated to me, you know, geez, would the federal government, remember, Columbus Day is a federal holiday. Now, what the states do is always the state's purvey. That's, you know, the whole 10th Amendment thing. The states on some issues, not every issue, but the states on a lot of issues can do what they want. And Columbus Day, though, has always been a federal holiday. And somebody just kind of, we were talking in the kitchen area here at the station, and somebody mused to me. They said, well, do you think the federal government may ever get rid of Columbus Day? And I said, no. Can you imagine what the voter blowback would be, even though a lot of people would be in favor of that? I mean, imagine what the voter blowback would be on any candidate or elected official who would say, well, yeah, you know, geez, yeah, it's time to get rid of Columbus Day. Listen, politicians, they try and survive. So can you imagine if, in fact, you were a politician on the Republican side or even the Democratic side or on a third party line or minor party and said, well, geez, you know, it's time to get rid of Columbus Day. Now, having said that, there'd be a certain percentage of voters who would say, well, that's fine. I don't care, even though I am Italian. Not me particularly, but somebody speaking may say, yeah, I still love my heritage, but I didn't disagree with or I have doubts about what Columbus did or didn't do. So it's not like this would be some sort of windfall moment for a voter. However, you never know. And that's the bottom line here. And one thing that is discounted, I think, and you can jump in here and chime in on this at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And by the way, our Facebook question of the day is up there if you want to jump in on this. We're already getting some responses. Should Columbus Day still be observed as a state and federal holiday? Now, states can do what they want. There are some states that have made it Indigenous People's Day. There are some other states that have made it, you know, there's a push now to do Italian Heritage Day. I get that. I understand that. But love to hear your thoughts. Should Columbus Day still be observed as a state and federal holiday? Now, the one thing that people, and I think more people are getting this right, but the one thing I think that a lot of people still don't understand, and maybe it's by default that it's understood this way or not, If you ask, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, all right, you tell me if I'm wrong at 333-9422, 333-WICC. I think a lot of people who are of Italian extraction, Italian heritage, all right, if you are a person of Italian heritage, I don't think it is so much Columbus the person. I've never thought that. Even growing up steeped in Italian culture and heritage, it's more, in fact, about the heritage and about the culture. Now, did Columbus do some things that would today be looked askance on? Of course he did. So did a lot of other people back then. And listen, history tends to bend and twist things left and right. We get that. We understand that, right? And you could look back at a lot of people who were considered pioneers at what they did, and upon revisionist history say, well, she was awful with this, that guy owned slaves, she was into eugenics, he or she, you know, worshipped you know, Hitler. I mean, it's resplendent through history. I mean, Henry Ford was an anti-Semite. Charles Lindbergh was, you know, at minimum, had a soft spot for Hitler. So all throughout our history, either modern history or history dating back all the way to the Middle Ages, you know, there have been revisionist looks at everybody, top to bottom. And Columbus is one of those guys. But the thing the critics of Columbus Day do not get, and for some reason I'm not sure, they don't quite understand that Columbus Day, to me, growing up, now you can dispute me on this at 333-9422, 333-WICC. You know, Columbus Day growing up with me was never so much about Columbus the guy, or as I heard my people say all the time, you know, Cristoforo Colombo, you know. It was more about Italian heritage. And I think some of the municipalities and states who say, recognize that, right? When they say, well, listen, we're going to rename this Italian Heritage Day. Or there are some people who say, well, honor somebody else. But even when that's tried, well, you can't honor him, you know. Enrico Fermi, well, some of his work led to the atomic bomb. How do you honor Fermi, you know? So I think the part of the controversy here that kind of resurfaces every time around this time of the year is how Italians view, or those of Italian heritage who care enough to even think about this, how in fact do they view Columbus Day? And is it about Columbus, or is it more about what the day symbolizes? Because if you ask or tell anybody of Italian heritage, say, well, Columbus did that and that and that, and that's not really good. You know, 99% of people in their right minds are going to say, yeah, that wasn't good. But then again, you're looking at it with the line of revisionist history. I mean, we're talking about the late 1400s here, early 1500s. And if you criticize Columbus, which is fine, and there's plenty there to criticize, say, some folks, if somebody else, and he didn't discover America, there's all this talk of people being here before and since, and that has been debated ad nauseum. But, okay, let's say Columbus didn't, you know, quote-unquote get lost and kind of stumble here, which is what everybody says. Do you think somebody else would not have eventually come here and maybe have been worse than Columbus? So again, I guess my point here in starting this, if you want to chime in here at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC, is Columbus Day misunderstood to a point? I don't know of any Italian that worships Columbus. Yeah. The symbolism is all there. Columbus Circle in New York City, all the Christopher Columbus statues around states, including Connecticut, although if the one is in Bridgeport, I guess it's still wrapped up in a horse barn somewhere. and our Columbus statues and all this idolatry to a person, are they being taken down, you know, simply out of fear? We take at least a part of one show or an entire show to talk about the Columbus Day, I guess, controversy, but people who get it off on the federal level, you know, get the day off, I guess they like it. One of my callers called in earlier saying, hey, I'm not really into the Columbus thing, but man, oh man, well, it's nice to have a day off. Joining us right now to talk about that thing, that and other things related to this gentleman who's been on the show, I think twice with me before, out of New Jersey, Andre Domino. He's president of the Italian-American One Voice Coalition. Andre, it's Paul here in Connecticut once again. How are you, sir?
Great to be back with you, Paul. Thank you.
A lot of people like getting the day off. Some people complain about Columbus, Andre, but they won't give back that day off, will they?
No, they won't, and it is still a federal holiday, although some states and cities are not observing it as a federal holiday, and they are working, but it's a federal holiday and an important one because it's important for all Americans, but especially for Italian Americans.
You know, Andre, and I've talked about this with you in the past and earlier here on the show, look, plenty of scholars, Andre, have debated Columbus over the years. We've read both sides. You know, he's everything from Satan to Jesus incarnate. I think, though, Andre, that the thing that people don't tend to get is for a lot of Italian Americans, it is about Columbus to a point, but it's not just about a statue. It's about some way, as you and I grew up in Italian households, I don't know about you, I wasn't so much fixated on Columbus as I was Italian culture. And I think, Andre, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong, a lot of people don't understand the purely cultural connection that this means to millions of Italians.
No, you're absolutely right. Of course, it's so important as a holiday for Italian Americans to celebrate the Italian American heritage. But it really has deep, deep roots in the reason that it is Columbus. And of course, it goes back to the late 1800s and early 1900s when Italian Americans were discriminated, marginalized, and so forth. And of course, the largest single one-day lynching ever that occurred was of 11 Italian Americans in New Orleans, plus there were other lynchings. And that's why in 1892, President Harrison, as an apology to the Italian-American community, declared the 400th anniversary of Columbus Day as an apology and also to welcome Italian-Americans as part of the fabric of America. And, of course, then it became a federal holiday in 1937. So there's a lot of deep roots to our ancestors on why Columbus Day, specifically Columbus, is so important to us.
Andre Domino joins us once again. I think we've had this gentleman on at least twice before from the Italian-American One Voice Coalition. Check out their website, iaovc.org. iaovc.org. And Andre, I'm looking at the list of TV and radio appearances you've made over the years and the different editorial print publications you've been involved with. It certainly is an incredible span of outlets on the far left and the center and on the far right. The questioning you get and how you have to position that, has that changed over the years? Is there a more reasoned approach to this? Is it going the other way? With all the experience you've had talking about this, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, candidly, I have to say I do think it's getting better this year than it's been the past couple of years. You know, there really was a very, very strong move for changing into Indigenous Peoples Day. You know, that's still out there, but we see much less of that now. And I think it might be because of some of the battles that we've won. You know, we've won in multiple school districts now where they canceled the holiday. We protested. One group, for example, Randolph, New Jersey, we had over 450 people come down to the meeting, and we had literally international coverage of it. And they then reversed themselves and put Columbus Day back. And, of course, you know, our organization has the landmark federal lawsuit against West Orange, New Jersey, for removing the Columbus Monument. And that may even go to the Supreme Court, because what we're doing is Italian Americans are a recognized group under the 14th Amendment. So switching from one group to another, that's the definition of discrimination. So we're out there, and perhaps some of the other organizations may think twice before doing this now.
And President Biden, listen, he's no dummy politically, no matter what people think about him on the left and right. The guy's been around there for, you know, more than a few years. And I see that, you know, not only is he issuing an Indigenous Peoples proclamation Andre, but like any smart politician, you know, he knows this may, if he played this the wrong way, may translate into votes or a loss thereof. So the president and the White House, they, despite, I guess, some pressure, are still issuing proclamations for Columbus Day.
Well, yes, and that didn't come just by accident. We actually approached the White House and we said we were displeased with last year's message. And through the Conference of Presidents of Italian American Organizations, of which our organization belongs, we worked to get the wording changed for this year's proclamation. But unfortunately, this is the second consecutive year that he issued the Indigenous Peoples Proclamation, the first president to do that. So it was kind of a bittersweet accomplishment.
You know, Andre, and Andre Domino is the guest, I don't think anybody is against honoring Indigenous peoples or any
Absolutely.
Other. And I think that's a misconception. Well, you Italians don't want to honor Indigenous people.
No way.
No, nobody's saying that, right?
No, quite the contrary. Indigenous people already have August 9th, the International Indigenous Peoples Day, plus the day after Thanksgiving and the whole month of November for Native Americans. We want to celebrate right along with them. We don't want to take anything away from them. But don't pit one group against the other and try to get rid of something that's so culturally important to Italian Americans and then having two groups fighting over the same day. It's just the wrong thing to do.
Andre, knowing that you're in New Jersey and, you know, folks like you in New Jersey, here in Connecticut, too, we kind of get that bleed over, that ooze of news from New York City.
Right.
And what is the latest that you hear about the Columbus Circle and the statue? My son lives right near there on the Upper West Side. What is the notion there that there may be a push in New York City to get rid of that?
Well, yes, and that has resurfaced again, unfortunately. There is one politician that's trying to put a move to get rid of Columbus Day and the statue and so forth, just like you said. But I believe that there's enough of a pushback. You know, we've got the iconic parade that's there. They've got a number of organizations. We're there. I think that there's always going to be that thing. But that statue is so important. That statue was put up by the nickels and dimes of Italian Americans back in the 1890s because it was so important for them to be accepted as Americans. And that's why I don't think that anything's going to happen there. And candidly, if they ever try to, we'll muster our forces together and make sure that nothing happens.
And again, Andre, finally, you know, you mentioned the nickels and dimes of Italian migrants in the 1880s and 1890s. And look, obviously, nobody in history is a pure person. And what happens, the worst thing we can do is look back in history and try to judge history by standards of today. And I think that's the big overriding thing, that no matter who anybody honors, the era that they lived in, it was not fortunate of the, 700 years of hindsight that we have today. I mean, that's just common sense.
No, absolutely right, and that goes both ways. You know, this was no Garden of Eden when Columbus got here. There was lots of violence and viciousness that was going on, and in fact, Columbus actually protected the Taino tribe from the Carib tribe, who were cannibals. So, but yes, we can't put these people compared to today's standards. Put them in their historical perspective, but the things that they're saying about Columbus are just fabrications and just not true.
The name of the organization, the Italian American One Voice Coalition. Check out the website, iaovc.org. Good to speak with Andre Domino once again. Andre, thank you. Take care, and we'll talk down the road. Be good. Stay safe.
Thank you. Happy Columbus Day.
You too, sir. Thank you. All right, there you go. So the website is IAOV as in Victor C, the Italian American One Voice Coalition.org. On this Columbus Day Monday, October the 10th, 2022, or Indigenous Peoples Day, if you'd like that. Listen, I've got nothing against honoring every single different ethnic group, but, you know, the fact that we're piggybacking 2 days, you know, I think we know where that's coming from. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. A lot of national people still supporting the idea of Columbus Day. And, of course, it still is a federal holiday. Listen, no federal lawmaker is going to campaign from the president on down to get rid of Columbus Day as a federal holiday, plus all those union guys and gals out there who get the day off. That's not going away anytime soon. We have some local voices, or at least one, that wants to talk about that. Joe Catanzaro joins us. He's president of the Italian American Alliance, the Connecticut chapter, to talk about this. Hey, Joe, it's Paul here at WICC. How are you, sir? Good afternoon.
I'm doing great, Paul. How are you?
Good, good. What's tell us about your group first, the Italian American Alliance and the Connecticut chapter. What's that group about?
Awesome. So the Italian American Alliance was created mostly in order to preserve Italian heritage and Italian culture.
And
I am the president of the Connecticut chapter of that.
And relating to the scenario, Joe, regarding Columbus Day here as a bigger issue, I have always thought, and we've talked about this in the show earlier on today, I've always thought that a lot of people, including some Italians, Joe, may get a little too wrapped up in the Columbus Day thing, you know, the whole statue and the imagery of Columbus and what he did, versus the fact, Joe, that I think a lot of Italians still do take this very seriously because Columbus Day is directly attached to Italian heritage and Italian culture. And a lot of people, when they see some of the controversy around this, feel, well, a little offended maybe that the Columbus Day celebration, according to some, shouldn't happen. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's extremely important that the Columbus Day celebration happens. That is really a day that it belongs to. It really belongs to Italians. It was actually given to the to honor Italian Americans from FDR. That was prior. The Italian Americans were known as basically second class citizens. And FDR decided that he was going to honor Italian Americans, and he did that by giving, creating Columbus Day, and to honor the Italian explorer Columbus, and that was their hero at the time. And really, Columbus Day is a day that honors Italian American heritage, and it's extremely important to keep around.
There is a continued narrative, Joe, about Columbus, racism, and slavery. What are your thoughts on that?
So I've heard some of those rumors as well, but I know for certain that they're not facts, actually. In the Italian-American Alliance, we have doctors, lawyers, authors who have all written books that have proven, that have disproved that Columbus was a racist. In fact, he saved quite a few Native Americans that were being enslaved by fellow Native American groups. And he had tried to free those people. So he was actually very, and he came to, you know, this country to spread Christianity. He really, I challenge anybody who says otherwise, I have doctors and lawyers that'll disprove that 100%.
So why do you think, Joe, and the guest here talking about Columbus Day and the controversy is Joe Catanzaro, the president of the Connecticut chapter of the Italian-American Alliance. Why, Joe, even though it seemed to have tailed off this year as a previous guest I had just said, why is this still controversial to some people? Why can't we have, for example, a Columbus Day and perhaps a separate Indigenous Peoples Day? I don't think anybody's against that. What are your thoughts on that?
I am actually for that. So actually, believe it or not, we do have that. Columbus Day is celebrated, you know, it was celebrated today, the federal holiday, as you mentioned before. And we do have an Indigenous Peoples Day, the day that directly after Thanksgiving, designated Indigenous Peoples Day. But not a lot of people are aware of that. And I am someone who definitely supports Indigenous Peoples Day the day after Thanksgiving. I'm actually for that. I work with several Native American groups, one of which being Native American Guardian Association. The Italian American Alliance works with that group, Native American groups, in order to, and we've spoken to those groups and we've asked them their opinion on Columbus Day, and they've said Italians should have their own day. No, a culture shouldn't suffer for another culture. It's really, we have the answer. It's right there. It's to have Columbus Day have its own Italian Heritage Day, and to have the Native Americans continue to have Indigenous Peoples Day. It's right in front of us.
How is this being taught in schools? Does your group actively look at and keep an eye on how the Columbus story and the legacy is taught in schools? And what have you heard about that over the years?
So over the years, I personally haven't gone into schools and asked, but from what I've heard from several sources is that they're, I mean, obviously they're not teaching that Columbus, you know, rode the ocean blue and found America anymore. Now there are many people that don't want to, there are many teachers that don't want to talk about Columbus, and there are, well, probably from higher education, they're saying to not talk about Columbus, and more or less saying that he's racist, we can't talk about him. Over sources that they actually don't have very legitimate sources. I mean, once again, as I mentioned before, I have the people who have written books based on Columbus saying that he is actually not a racist and he was not a murderer. I mean, but they don't feel like telling those stories to the children. They feel like, I've heard many people decide that it would be better off to erase culture, which you can't erase culture. That's just, you really can't.
Yeah, and I mean, Joe, you exactly right now, and we saw this, did we not, with some of these Civil War monuments and statues. And listen, when we completely erase stuff and don't debate it, I think that's far worse than keeping it around if it just upsets people. Sometimes, you know, Joe, history and what we've done before in imperfect societies it needs to be talked about and revised, you know, how we look at things.
Absolutely. I think it needs to be talked about 100% from both sides. I don't think it's really fair that there are people that say Columbus is a racist. And I said, on what grounds? Do you know anybody who told you this? They said, everybody knows. And then I was like, but where did you learn that? I just heard it. I was like, okay, I have doctors and lawyers that will tell you otherwise. And I have several scholars that will also tell you otherwise, Harvard graduates, in fact, that will tell you that, and they don't want to take the time to listen and do their own research. If you listen, do your own research, and, you know, speak to professionals, you'll find out Columbus was the opposite of a racist and a murderer.
Yeah.
In fact, he came to this, here to spread Christianity.
I just heard it is, to me, not a great example or great excuse. Joe, thank you. He's head of the Italian-American Alliance, Connecticut chapter, Councilman Joe Catanzaro. Joe, thanks. Be good. Take care. And hopefully we can chat down the road. Appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Joe Catanzaro, Catanzaro, president of the Italian-American Alliance, the Connecticut chapter here. And the website is theitalianamericanalliance.com if you'd like to just take a look at it, you know, look at some of the arguments they make, because I think, you know, this day only comes once a year, but it's a fascinating way to sit back and ask, who do we believe on many issues? How do we take that information in? And are they really telling us the truth, as they used to say? An interesting occurrence happened over the past few days, an announcement that the Hartford Current, or more properly the hedge fund that now owns the Current, the nation's oldest continuously published newspaper, and a lot of folks are going to like this, but it's a big change. The Current, along with the other papers they're co-owned with, the Current is not going to do certain types of political endorsements anymore. You know, like every 2 or 4 years, hey, we think it is in the best interest for you to vote for so-and-so. Now, a lot of people are saying good riddance to this. Other people are saying, well, this is just intolerance of other opinions. To talk about that and more is one of our go-to people on journalism. Quinnipiac University Associate Professor of Journalism, Rich Hanley, is with us. Richard, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good to hear you, Paul. How are you doing?
Not too bad, not too bad. Rich, is this just a move to not tick off subscribers the way we're so polarized now, Rich?
No, this is actually a trend in newspapers just to get away from endorsements. They take a lot of time to craft. Whether or not they work is another question. And there really is no room for calm, reasoned opinion of on the editorial pages without any signature, in terms of, you know, asking people to vote one way or another. But this is definitely a trend. I'm sure it has something to do with the fact that people will see a headline but not read the underlying content and then judge what they think to be a bias toward one candidate or another. But from the newspaper's perspective, and this is my perspective as well, it's an abdication of their role in society. And I mourn the loss of endorsements. There really were a time when the newspaper, after covering a candidate for several months,
yeah,
would assess pros and cons and then come up with a calm, reasoned approach to why one candidate would be better for a community than another. These things weren't inflammatory by any stretch. They were actually quite dull. But folks tend to not to read them anymore. So all the Tribune papers are getting away from national elections, at least in terms of endorsement. But they will continue to endorse hyper-local candidates, like for council, that sort of thing.
And I see, Rich, where that was kind of the caveat here in reading the Current's editorial. They're kind of saying, hey, we're not going to do this, but we're going to do that, which you mentioned, which was, and I always preach on this show, that we get caught up in all these sexy races for Congress and governor when it really is the lower levels of society and of lawmaking that really, Rich, have the highest effect on the lives of everyday people more than they realize.
That's exactly right, Paul. That's why I'm glad the Current and other Tribune papers are sticking with the most important races of all, which are always the local races. I think the temperature is hottest for the the national races, even the governor's race, member of Congress race, that sort of thing. But local level, that people feel the results of the election on the ground. They see the candidates in the store. They see the kids at the candidates' kids at the Little League game. So there's a more sensible approach to voting, I think, at the local level. And this is where the endorsements will come in handy. If the race is tight and local folks don't know whom to vote for, they'll say, what does the paper say about it? Pros, cons, indifference, or whatever. So I think it's a huge plus to focus on the local races in terms of endorsements. And I think it's an even bigger plus to focus on local races in terms of your coverage. I think, as you said, these are very important to people. Your property taxes, for example, are in play, and so on. So you want to figure out who's going to do best for you, who's going to give the most bang for your tax buck, you know, who's going to improve your schools, that sort of thing. And that remains in the local hands. So attention is rightfully going to be paid to local races.
And a bit of a significant decision made, both by the Hartford Current and their ownership, about not doing endorsements anymore, which has been American newspaper tradition for a good couple of hundred years on major races, Senate, governor, members of Congress. They said they will still focus on local races. Look, it's no surprise that we are a really bipolar society right now, and these things may upset some people or may not. Rich Hanley joins us for a few more minutes, one of our go-to guys and gals for all things media. Rich, a associate professor at Quinnipiac University. Rich, listen, a lot of us on both ends of the spectrum, unfortunately, there are a lot of people, Rich, who can't or don't want to admit that a newspaper may have a different point of view than mine or yours or whatever, and can just take that, read it, and go, and move on. So, you know, we're so bipolar now in this whole thing that I don't know. When I ever hear people say, well, you know, the Current endorsed so-and-so, so I'm not going to read it. You know, maybe in that end of it, Rich, hopefully this gets people to stay with papers. And I know you think it's not a good thing, but, you know, the allowance for a diversity of opinion here is maybe at its all-time low.
Yeah, and what would happen again in certain quarters is that the folks who disagreed with the, say, Current's endorsement would then think, oh, that must mean all their stories are slanted a certain way, which couldn't be further from the truth, as anyone who's ever worked in a newsroom can tell you. But the fact is, you're right. People would look at that and say, oh, that must mean they're pro-Democratic, pro-Republican, you know, pro-whatever, because they endorse this candidate, and so it infiltrates the rest of their coverage or dictates what they coverage, and that couldn't be further from the truth. Number one, the reporters, the editors, the city editors, those type of line positions, aren't party to the decisions of who endorses whom.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's up to the editorial page people. And sometimes, you know, it was always, you know, legendary arguments coming out of that office endorsement time.
Yeah.
You know, the newspapers themselves were split on whom to endorse. So.
And usually, Rich, those editorial boards from my time in newspapers, there weren't a lot of newbies on those boards.
No.
I mean, those boards had men and women who would cover news for 30, 40, 50 years.
Absolutely. And they had the historical perspective. And added that historical perspective to their decision and use it to support their argument. Yeah, this isn't Twitter. You know, this isn't just someone acting on impulse. These are people who are of a high professional rank and sensibility toward the news, making a reasoned decision. As you said, for over, you know, over 200 years, this has been a part of the newspaper's role, to say this is who we think is the best candidate for this particular election at this particular time.
And Rich, you know, that happened a lot from what I read and from what you probably read, too. I mean, listen, 200 years ago, Rich, or even around the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, you know, the masses out there, you know, correctly or not, were not considered some of the most informed people out there. Now, we all know people who were common sense smart and book not so much, but the papers kind of knew that they could also drive votes and tell people, hey, we kind of know you can't pay attention to this on your farm, you know, or your factory, but here's what we think. And that's been going on for two centuries.
Right, and there are some newspapers, you know, that would traditionally endorse the candidate of one party versus another party. That was just their identity was tied to the party, if not their content. And that would become almost a layup to say, okay, this paper is going to endorse this candidate because of the party affiliation. And people took that, you know, with a grain of salt or with how many grains of salt they wished. But it's kind of the kind of political tradition to have that endorsement. And, you know, I think one of the reasons for our disintegration in politics, you know, is that sort of lack of tradition, you know, the straw hat and balloons type politicking. And it's gone, you know, because I blame, you know, television for that, of course, and obviously social media, because people just scream at each other now instead of talking to each other or try to use wit to persuade, that sort of thing. It's gotten too much to the impulse level as opposed to the level of wit. Which I find most unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, wit, and, you know, I'm like you, Rich. You know, the old days, you know, listen, when there were out-and-out threats and money exchange, it was entertaining, right? At least you had... At least you had, you know, some graft that Walter Cronkite could talk about, right?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't disguised graft, or most of all, it wasn't legalized graft.
No.
Through campaign finance laws and all this other stuff.
Come on, but
if the Cook County ballot box was going to be stuffed, guess what? It was going to be stuffed.
I mean, you know, so what if Dan Rather got roughed up by the convention in Chicago? I mean, most half of America, Rich, was going, yeah, give it to him.
That's right. Yeah, there was something. I don't know. I don't know if it's the right word.
It was authentic.
There's something tangible about politics.
Yeah.
Something physical about politics that we no longer have, unfortunately.
No. Rich Hanley, Associate Professor of Journalism at Quinnipiac University. Rich, good to talk to you. Take care, my friend.
All the time, Paul. It's nice to talk to you.
Appreciate it. Thanks. All right, there you go. So that's the crux of the story is now about half of you, like Rich and I just said, are probably cheering it, going, good. No newspaper should tell me or anybody else in my town, my city, or my state who to vote for. And others probably would say, well, it's okay. That's just the editorial board's opinion. I'm an adult. I can follow some of those ideas they brought up or not. But the bottom line is the Hartford Courant, which is the oldest continuously published paper in the country. The Courant said today, hey, we are no longer going to endorse candidates for major races. They're going to endorsements, they say, and concentrate on smaller races, which I kind of get. I mean, my God, just on my phone between the 2024 races, the 2022 races coming up, Congress, even local races here in Connecticut. I mean, if you have your politics antenna really cranked up on your phone. Oh, my phone's blowing up all day. Hey, candidate Joe Schmo had eggs for breakfast. What does that indicate?